Let us pray. Most holy, gracious, loving, forgiving, healing God, we come this morning to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another opportunity to praise you through our giving. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you take these offerings and may do some good in the community. Because, Heavenly Father, when we say return to you a portion of that which is already yours, you don't need our gifts, Heavenly Father, but you do need us to help others in the community and in the world. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and we worship your name. And bless the giver and bless those who had none to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time is filled with swift transition. No, unmoved can stand. Lord, build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Let me say it again. Time is filled with swift transition. Oh, no. On earth, unmoved can stand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Anybody gonna hold to God's unchanging hand? Everybody ought to hold to God's unchanging hand. Everybody hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Anybody gonna hold to God's unchanging hand? I used to hear my mama say this: trust in him, he won't ever leave you. Lord, whatsoever years may bring, or if by earthly friends forsaken, or still more closely to him cling. Everybody ought to hold. Come on, come on, help me sing it. God's unchanging hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Need you to build your hope on things turn up. Anybody gonna hold to God's unchanging hand? Can everybody help me sing? Everybody ought to hold to his hand. hand to God's and God's unchanging hand. Everybody ought to hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. You just build your hopes on things eternal. Yeah, yeah. Oh, changing hand, changing hand. Amen. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold on to God's unchanging hand. On tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we will gather together for the homegoing services of Sister Gloria LeSure. The viewing will be from 10 to 11, and the service will follow immediately. And we ask all of you to come out and throw your arms around the Williams and the LeSure family. Brother Walt Williams and Brother Jimmy Williams is here. They are here today, and we salute you for being here today especially. God bless you. And as pastor, I can say I've sat where you're sitting now, and I do know what you're going through. And so my prayers are with you and all of the family. Amen. On a happier note, tomorrow is Richard's 12th birthday. And I look at him now, sitting up in the seat. He actually had to put his feet up in the seat to see over the pews when we came here. And he's 12 years old tomorrow, God willing. Will y'all help me sing one verse of a happy birthday to him? Stand up, Richard.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Richard. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. We agreed that I don't have to buy him anything for his birthday, because that whatever that thing is that goes over your face where you see, what is it called? The virtual binocular, reality binoculars. I bought those for him about a few weeks ago. He said, Dad, just get them for my birthday. And so I bought that. And then he wanted a new phone a couple of months ago. He said, Dad, just get it for my birthday. So I bought him the phone, and there were a couple of more things that he wanted. And I said, no. He said, Dad, just get it for my birthday. And this morning, the first thing he wanted to know is, what you getting me for my birthday? So I reminded him of all of the things that he asked me to get him for his birthday. When I got him the phone, his older brother and sister said, you mean Dad bought you whatever phone it is, a Samsung? They said, how did you get Daddy to buy you that phone? And he said, you know, when I put that look on Daddy, Daddy can't resist me. So I'm working hard to resist that look. Amen. But isn't it a blessing to be able to do some things for your children? Amen. Praise God. I'm happy to be here today and happy to prepare to take you to this word today, Romans chapter 12. And I want to look at verse 10 and talk to you about what I believe the Lord is saying to us from this particular text. A And you remain seated. I'm just going to read one verse. I figure if I just read one verse, then I won't preach so long. Amen. So let's read verse 10. Y'all got it? I'm reading from the King James Version. If you got it, and if you all have it, your Bibles turn, because I'm going to need you to read with me in this sermon. I'm only going to read one verse for preaching, but there are several verses that we will read throughout the course of this message. So open your Bibles or either stay with me in the audiovisual room. And I certainly appreciate these young people who are doing it. You see how fast they turned that to the King James Version? Those are babies up there, and I appreciate you babies so much for what you're doing. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I just want to talk about kind affection. Kind affection. Kind affection. I really was reading this particular text, this chapter, this Romans piece as a part of my personal devotion. And it just sort of stayed with me. And after I went into Brother Rob's Sunday school class, and let me just give a shout out for Sunday school. I'll visit the other class next Sunday, but it was absolutely amazing at the knowledge and the spirit that flows throughout the Sunday school at Mount Olivet. So let me encourage all of you, as we move to wherever God is taking us, let's, somebody say everybody. Let's everybody work toward becoming faithful Sunday school members. Everybody say everybody. Let's everybody work at becoming faithful Sunday school members. Amen. Let's everybody come to Sunday school. Let's fill the old sanctuary up, and let's fill the Rose Memorial Room up. And then bring your children with you, and our Sunday school superintendent, Brother Bernard, will be real happy that there are teachers, but there are no students for our Sunday school, for our children. So bring the children Sunday. Let's everybody come to Sunday school. What time does Sunday school start? What about over here? What time does it start? All right. Sounds like about 7 people on this side ought to be there. All right, because I heard them say 7:30. Kind affection. This whole chapter teaches believers to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. This whole chapter, Romans chapter 12, it really teaches us to live our lives that are pleasing to the Lord. Go to verse 1. Go to verse 1 and verse 2, and I want us to read verse 1 and verse 2 together. All right, verse 1 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. Let's read that together. King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That piece right there is really thinking about the believer and teaches us things that we should know as believers. It's thinking about the believers. Verses 1 and 2 is really thinking and talking about the believer. But verses 3 through 8 are thinking about the body. And talking about the body, we must consider our own life and get it where it really needs to be. We must strive to be everything that the Lord has saved us to be. Everything that the Lord has saved us to be, we must strive to be that. So what is it that I want to be? Do I want to be a doctor? Do I want to be a lawyer? Do I want to be a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a plumber, a painter, electrician, school teacher, pharmacist? What is it that I want to be? I want to be what God has made me to be, created me to be, and then I want to be, yes, what God has saved me to be. Go to verse 3. We're going to read. I need you to read from, we're going to read from verse 3 to verse 8. Y'all got that? All right, let's read. For I say, through the grace, everybody, for as we and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so this one, the first verses talks about the believer. This last little piece that we just read, it talks about the body and how we are members of one body, and everything that we do, we should really do it to the glory of God. Everything that we do, we just do it to the glory of God. Somebody said, just do it to the glory of God. Do I sing well? No, I sing to the glory of God. Do I preach well? I preach to the glory of God. Do I bless the offering well? I bless it to the glory of God. Do I direct the choir well? I direct it to the glory of God. And so this text is talking about the believer, thinking about the believer. It's talking about the body, thinking about the body, but also it thinks about the brethren. Verses 9 through 15, these verses are filled with challenges for the children of God to live together. Somebody say, we got to live together. We got to live together. We got to pray together. We got to walk together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So we got to walk together. We got to talk together. We got to live together. We got to be together. What's that song? They say, we are family. And we got to be together. Got to live together before the Lord and the world. Got to live before the Lord. Got to live before the world as God, as a God-honoring family. We got to live together as a family who honors God. Somebody say a family who honors God. Got to live together as a family who honors God. So now let's read some text. Let's read about how he talks about the brethren or the fellowship, or how he thinks about the brethren or the fellowship. Are y'all at verse 9? Let's read. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in... Wait. I know something happened. Y'all got your Bibles? All right, so what happened on the screen? You got it back? All right, let's read, because I got down to just hearing two people. I want to hear y'all in the back, too. Let's go. Not slothful. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Wait, listen, doesn't that strengthen the body already? Listen to this. Let's go to verse 11 again. Now, the loudness that you read and the authority and strength in which you read, it helps us to get to the end. Now, let's get to this. Not slothful in business. Wait. Look at somebody and say, handle your, see where it says not slothful in business? Y'all see that? It says not slothful in business. Tell somebody to handle your business. handle your business. Good to see you, Geneva. The text says, handle your business. Amen. That's what it's saying. It's saying, handle your business, your church business, your family business, your home business, your physical business. Tell your neighbor, handle your business. Let's go. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Here comes the piece that made me decide that we need to talk about this. Let's read this with power. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, give me some power, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, give me some power, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not in your own conceit. Recompense, wait, let's do that again. Recompense, I need the power on that word. Give me some power right there. Recompense. Y'all almost got it. One more time, but I need some power right there. Give me some power. Recompense. To man, no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you. Do what? Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, what? Wait. Come on, give me that. Give me some power right there. One more time. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, do what? Feed who? Feed who? If he thirst, do what? Give who drink? For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. All right, yeah. That was good. That was good reading. That was good to me a second time. Amen. How many of you can say that was good to you the first time? That was good. Okay, so do this. Heed to these verses and it transfigures your Christian life. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration when things were changing? If you heed to the verses that we just read, it will transfigure your life. If you practice these verses, it will transform your Christian walk. If you follow these verses, it will transform your Christian fellowship. So you can change your Christian life, your Christian walk, and your Christian fellowship with the verses that we just read. So my assumption is you're going to kind of dog ear that page in your Bible. So earmark that page in your Bible so that you can go back to it, because all of us want God to change us. I think the worst person in the world really wants God to change their heart. They just have not been introduced to Jesus like we have. Amen. And so notice in our text, our actions toward one another. Our actions, verses 9 through 15 was all about our actions toward one another. And first of all, the actions that we see are really called social actions. Now you got to go with me because I'm going to run through this. These make us a pleasure to live with, the social actions that Paul talks about in these verses. Verses 9a, he says, be honest. That simply says, love one another with an honest love. That's what all of us are looking for, is an honest love. There's so many people afraid of people. We're afraid to get to know new people now because everybody has motives. And so Paul says in verse 9, the A clause, he says, be honest. But then in 10a, he says, be loving. In other words, love one another with a faithful devotion. Be honest, be loving. But look at verse 10b, he says, be humble. In other words, put other people ahead of yourself. That's what God is telling us through the Apostle Paul in this text. He's saying you'll have a better walk, you'll have a better talk, you'll have a better life, you'll have a better fellowship if you can just put other folk ahead of yourself. But then he says in verse 11, A clause, he says, be diligent. That's the piece we were just messing with a little bit. He was saying, don't be slothful, don't be lazy. We're to be diligent in whatever it is that our work is. He's saying be diligent, not procrastinators. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatever, whatsoever your hands find to do, he says, do it. And then he says, do it with all of thy might. So if there's a piece of paper in the floor, whose responsibility is it to get it up? Whoever sees it. But, you know, we like to, we pay people to pick this paper up. Yeah, and God pays us all to pick it up. Amen. So if you walk outside and you see a little piece of paper on the floor, on the ground, pick it up, because all of us are getting paid not to be slothful. All right, so we should be, it should be a pleasure to do the work of God. And then we've got to live our lives so that it's a pleasure to work with us. That's what this text is telling us. He's saying be diligent, but then in verse 13 he says be helpful. But then in verse 13b he says be open. Somebody say open. In other words, God is saying open our minds up, open our hearts up to whatever it is that he is doing for us. Doesn't he say in Isaiah, I will do a new thing? God wants to do a new thing. I'm talking about in your own personal life, in your own walk with God, in your own body. He wants to do a new thing, but we are all closed up. He says, open. Instead of building walls between us and others and us and God, reach out as friends and family, even friends to God. The song, one of those praise songs that I love says, I'm a friend of God. And he calls me friend. Well, if we are friends with God and he calls us friend, let's open up to our friend. But then look at verse 14. He says, be kind. Regardless of what another throws at you. That was the Sunday school lesson today. Regardless of what another throws at you, he says, be kind. And as we pass through this life, our life reflects really how much Christ Jesus really abides in us. When it comes to being kind, sometimes you just got to close your mouth. Y'all know what? One of the best things I saw in the Bible was the woman who was caught in adultery. The Bible doesn't say they think she was in adultery. It says they caught her. Now, this is not a speculation, an allegation. This is a fact. It says they caught her. And they took her to Jesus, and they were glad to get to Jesus. They said, oh, Jesus, we got something to tell you. We got her. We got her. We caught her in adultery, in the very act. And what amazes me is it says that Jesus stooped down to the ground as though he heard them not. Sometimes you got to act like you didn't hear what you heard. I think I told y'all at Albertina Walker's funeral, a fight broke out. Did I tell y'all that at Albertina Walker's funeral, a fight broke out? I ain't talking about somebody said it. I'm talking about I'm looking at it. A fight broke out at Albertina Walker's funeral. They broke the fight up. Bobby Jones, BET Bobby Jones, comes to the mic, and he says, you did not see what you just saw. You know what that means? It means don't go talking about it. Don't go gossiping about it. Don't go laughing about it. Don't go gloating about it. You got to act like you didn't see what you saw. You got to act like you didn't hear what you heard. He says, be kind. But then he says in verse 15, he says, be compassionate. He says, be compassionate. What do you mean by that, Paul, when you say be compassionate? He says, you got to learn how to hurt when other people hurt. And you got to learn how to rejoice when others rejoice. He's really saying in this text, if you hurt when others hurt, you halfen their hurt. You take half of their hurt. You take on their hurt, and they don't hurt so bad. But he's also saying, if you rejoice when they rejoice, you halfen their hurt, but you double their joy. So learn how to hurt when other people hurt. I don't apologize for crying. When people come to my office and they start crying, I start handing them tissue, and I give me one too. Give me one, save me one. It's okay. Hurt when others hurt and rejoice when others rejoice. And Paul is saying in verse 15 when he says be compassionate, he's saying never be jealous of other people. Never be jealous. Jealousy, he said, it does not belong with Christian people. Really, a lot of stuff we get into with individuals is really because of jealousy. Never indifferent when a time of crisis arises with others. Never be glad that it's somebody else's day. Do you know bad days are like seasons? Seasons come and seasons go. It's somebody's day today. It's somebody else's day tomorrow. But guess what? If you keep living, it could be your day. Doesn't that sound like something grandma would say? That sounds like some grandma preaching right there. I mean, if you keep living, your day is coming. Because a man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. This is how the church demonstrates Christ's love one for another. It's when you have compassion. When you have compassion, this is how we show kind affection one to another. It's when we have compassion. This is how the church shows the world the reality of our claim. We claim we love God. How do we show the world that we love God? It's when we have compassion. And so so we've seen our social actions, like being honest. But now look here, our spiritual actions are recorded in this same piece that we just read, are recorded our spiritual actions. These equip us to be a blessing. Everything that we just read, like being open, helps us get a blessing. Being helpful helps us to get a blessing. Being diligent helps us to get a blessing. Being compassionate helps us to receive blessings. But our spiritual actions help us to be a blessing. And it's not always about what you get. It's very often about what you give. It's not also all about what you have coming in, but what do you give out? What do you give out? What do you do? It's not your withdrawals that really makes you rich. It's your deposits. And so if you really want to be rich in the love of God, you've got to make some good deposits in somebody else's life, in somebody else's walk, in somebody else's heart. Our spiritual actions, notice verse 9b. Go back to verse 9b. He says, be holy. It's our personal walk. You know, we don't even like to talk about holiness in the Baptist church. Somebody asks you, do you have the Holy Ghost? We say, I go to a Baptist church. Do you have the Holy Ghost? I go to a Baptist church. And we don't teach holiness. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. It's holiness or hell. Now, that's what we don't talk about. We don't talk about hell, but just like heaven is real, hell is real. Can I get a witness? It says, be holy. It's our personal walk before the Lord. And guess what, people? That matters. Our personal walk with God. If we get our personal walk, I ain't talking about getting them. Somebody say them. Y'all come on, y'all say them. Everybody want to get them straight. And the text is tailored to get us straight, to get me straight. You know, most times we say it's not about me, but in this text, I need you to say it is about me. It is about me because he says, be holy, be ye holy because I'm holy. God says, if you want to reflect me, you got to be like me. He says it's a personal walk before the Lord. This is what he said. Now, so how do I be holy, Pastor? God, I know what you're saying. How do I be holy? Well, first of all, he says hate evil. You got to hate evil. You got to hate the presence of evil. You got to hate the sound of evil. You got to hate the thought of evil. You got to hate the idea of evil. You got to hate the persona of evil. And anything you hate, you stay away from it. I used to hate spinach. Now, let me ask you something. Won't getting older change some of the things that you used to hate? I used to hate spinach. I used to hate okra. And I didn't want to even be in the kitchen with anybody having eaten spinach or okra. But once I found out that what spinach and okra will do for you, it'll keep you off some vitamins, it'll keep you off some pills, bring me all the spinach. I mean, not only bring it to me, any way you bring it, you can bring it raw, you can bring it boiled, you can bring it steamed, any way you bring it. Bring it in the salad, bring it in the eggs, however you bring it. But the things that you hate, you stay away from those things. And so when he says, be holy, all he is saying is hate evil. Talking about people, that's evil. Wishing bad on people, that's evil. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought against other people, that's evil. And he's saying, hate evil. Okay, if you tell me to hate evil, then what else must I do? He says, be glued. Be glued to that which is good and that which is right and that which pleases God. If it pleases God, you know what? People won't always like what you do. People won't like how you dress. People won't like how you talk. People won't like how you preach. People won't like how you sing. People won't even like how you say good morning. But if it pleases God. And so you got to be glued to those things which please God. In other words, he's saying, conduct yourself carefully. And some of us are just so loose. We're loose with our words. We're loose with our deeds. We're loose with our thoughts. And Paul is simply saying, if you want to be kind and have affection towards somebody else, you kind of got to be careful in life. You got to be careful. You know, do you know your mouth is like a what's this gun that shoots bullets everywhere? It's like a shotgun. It's like a shotgun. I mean, you can open your mouth and hurt people all in the room, all over the room. Words can go out. Who told that lie that said sticks and stones will break your bones, but words don't hurt? That ain't true. That ain't true. Let me tell you what sticks and stones do. Sticks and stones hurt you on the outside. Sticks and stones hurt your skin. Sticks and stones can even hurt your bones. But words cut you way down in your heart. I mean, you can put a little salve on your skin. You can put a cask on your bones. But there ain't nothing you can do. But when you got the blues singer Bobby Bland say, when you got a heartache. Bobby, I know y'all don't know Bobby Bland. Bobby Blueberry. He says, when you got a heartache. He talks about what an aspirin will do to a headache. He said, when you got a headache, a little aspirin to do. When you got a little, he said, when you got a backache, a Dohn's pill will do. He said, when you got a footache, you can wrap your foot. But when you got a heartache, there ain't nothing you can do. And so holiness, the absence of holiness helps us to have heartaches. And so he says in your spiritual actions, he says, be holy. Come on, y'all, say it with me, be holy. Be holy. But not only does he say be holy, do you know he also says in verse 11, the B clause, he says be excited. You know, Mayor Lovely One had a big thing going on yesterday, and they had to clean up the city, and after the city they had a game, and I drove down Lake Avenue to see people, and I saw people getting out of their cars and just running. You know, see people, I guess, hit the ball and run after the ball. It's almost as insensible to me as golf.
That's how I felt when you hit the ball, knock it, go find it, hit it, knock it, go find it, hit it, knock it. I mean, just get the ball and put it in your pocket. Just hitting the ball, knock it, go out there, search all in the woods, all in the grass. Here the ball is, there it is, hit it, knock it again. But people are excited about that. I was on the golf course with Haywood Robinson, and we hit the ball. We all in the weeds looking for the ball. All in the weeds. Everybody helping everybody find their ball. And excited about it. And when they find the ball, somebody says, here it is. And we go running because we don't have to get another stroke for that. Be excited about Jesus Christ like we are hitting a ball, knocking it, hitting the ball, knock it, find it, knock it, find it, knock it, find it, knock it. And so when he says in verse 11, being fervent, fervent means boiling and bubbling. Do you know what God, come here. You know what he wants us to be? He wants us to be boiling and bubbling over about him. It carries the idea of bubbling, the bubbling. I mean, he really wants us to be excited about him. I'm in love with Jesus. Who am I talking to? Can say, I'm in love with Jesus. And I want the world to know that I'm in love with Jesus. And I don't care who knows it. As a matter of fact, I want somebody to know that I'm in love with Jesus. And so in verse 11, he says, be excited. I'm pushing on. Verse 11c, he says, be faithful. Whoever you're in love with, be faithful to him, to her. He says, be faithful. 11c says, be faithful. The word serving means to be in the position of a servant and act according. Accordingly, when we were served, we were bought with the price. God bought us with the price. Don't let anybody tell you that you are nothing. I'm bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And I know I'm talking to somebody in here. It may have been your mama who told you, you're just like your daddy and you're never going to be nothing. And I'm not telling you to talk back to mama, but I am telling you to put in your mind and in your heart, I'm bought with the price. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus. Somebody at school told you because you got a D on the test and they got a B plus. They told you you never would get out of here because you're nothing. Oh, yes, I am something. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus. And so he says, one, be holy. Two, he says, be faithful. But three, in verse 12, he says, 12a, he says, be happy. He says, be happy. The believer in Jesus Christ should be the happiest person on the face of the earth. Your smile makes a difference. I'm talking to somebody who needs to hear me say that today. Your smile makes a difference. Your smile says, I have hope. Your smile says, I have joy. Your smile says, I have peace. Because of our hope, we are saved. And your smile says, I'm saved and I know it. It doesn't matter whether Donald Trump, Bernie Mac, or Hillary Clinton gets in. I'm saved and I know it. Who am I talking to this morning can say, I smile because I'm saved. Listen here. Don't have a nickel in my pocket, but I smile because I'm saved. Don't have gas in my car. Don't have eggs. Don't have bread to make an egg sandwich with, but I smile because I'm saved. Wait, not only am I saved, I'm forgiven. That's what they talked about this morning. I'm forgiven. Not only am I saved, not only am I forgiven, but I'm also heaven bound. Why would we not smile? Why would we not be happy? Why would we not lift our hands? Why would we not lift our voice? Why would we not say amen when we can say, one, I'm saved, two, I'm forgiven, and three, I'm heaven bound. All right. So he says, be holy. He says, be excited. He says, be faithful. He says, be happy. But then he says, be hopeful. This means in verse 12, it's right there in verse 12, he says, be hopeful. This means to be steadfast. Come here. This is steadfast under pressure. This is not steadfast with a pocket full of money. This is steadfast when you don't know how you're going to make it. He's saying be steadfast. This is not steadfast when all of your children are in bed by 9 p.m. This is steadfast when you don't even know where little Johnny is after. Am I talking to somebody in here? This is steadfast when you don't know where little Johnny is. This is steadfast when there's trouble on the camp, when there's trouble in the home, when there's sickness in your body. He's saying be steadfast and be hopeful. Why? Because, come here. We know. I should have had a shout right there. Somebody just should have bust out right there. Because that's almost picture perfect. Because we know that all things work together for the good of those who are the called and those who love the Lord. Now, I know I'm talking to somebody that when you're going through, and God knows I know, when you're going through, we start singing, I don't know why I have to cry sometime. I don't know why there'll be a perfect day when trouble get out of my way. But we must understand that all things work together for good. And so our actions toward one another, that's our actions toward one another, our attitudes, let's look at our attitudes. Our attitudes toward one another. Because that's what's in this text. Okay, can y'all go to verse 16 now? Can I have verse 16 now? Are we doing all right? I'm trying to get through. Are we doing all right? Y'all still here? All right, let's look at verse 16. Let's read. Give me verse 16. Let's read. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Now listen, this is our attitude toward one another. We just talked about our actions. I'm going to look at our attitude toward one another. What does it say? Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense what? To no man what? I want everybody to get that. Recompense what? What? Everybody give me that. Give me that. Wait. Everybody, stop. Verse 17. Give me verse 17. Everybody together. What about eye for eye? What about tooth for tooth? What about you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat? Recompense to no man. Who? No, that's what? Who? To who? Recompense to no man evil for evil. It is so easy to want to get back with somebody who did you in. But come here. Listen. Jesus knows who did you in better than you know who did you in. You see, the person you think doing you in all the time, that's the person that's pulling the trigger. I mean, they say James Earl Ray killed Dr. Martin Luther King. He pulled the trigger. But it's a long story of who really killed him. We always want to get the trigger man. That's why he says recompense to no man evil. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know who you after. You don't know. He's saying stop and let me handle. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so let's run through this right quick. So when he says our attitudes toward one another, first of all, in verse 16, he's really saying walk as a family. Never to allow yourselves to become so aloof and disconnected from your Christian family. There are some people who take pride in sin. Honey, I go to church, I go in late, and I leave early. I don't know what's going on down there. Do y'all know that this is family? What would it sound like for you to go to your address and somebody ask you what's going on in your house with you, your family, and your children? Honey, I don't know what's going on. I come in, I fix me something to eat, I go to bed. Now, if you don't say nothing, I won't know who I'm talking to. I fix me something to eat, I go to bed, I get up, take my shower, put my clothes on, and I'm gone. He's saying, don't be aloof with your church family. Spend a moment at the end of this service shaking somebody's hand. Spend a moment at the end of this service asking somebody how you're doing. Spend a moment at the end of this service saying, I'm glad to see you. He's saying, don't be aloof. Rob, don't yawn so loud. Yeah. Don't yawn so loud. Never allow yourselves to become aloof, disconnected from the Christian family. So come here and say, walk as a family. But then verse 16b says, walk in fellowship. Walk in fellowship. None in this family is better than the other. None in the family is better than anybody else. Whether you had Kodak or whether you cleaning up at McDonald's, none is better than the other. Whether you're in a penthouse in Pittsburgh or whether you're up under the house in Chile, none is better than the other. Y'all know what? Come here, come here, come here. We all cut from the same cloth. We all saved by the same blood. We're all headed to the same heaven, and we'll all stand together one with another. And we're all working for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and none of us are better than anybody else. It doesn't matter whether you drove up in a Fleetwood Cadillac or whether you came in on a Shetland pony. We all in the same boat. Y'all say that with me. We all in the same boat. We're in the same boat. And so so we walk as family. We walk in fellowship. We walk in forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. This sounds simple, but it's hard. It's hard. And it's hard because we like to get back at folks. We like to get back. We don't like to feel gotten. I mean, the police can stop us for the wrong, and they do it all the time. They stop us for the wrong reason. And even when we're taking off, we want to like, what's that? We thinking, what's that number on that car? What's the number? I wish I knew this man's name. Or I wish I knew his where he lived. We always want to get back at folk and not give God an opportunity to serve the vengeance. So we got to walk in forgiveness. You will be offended in this life. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to offend you before you leave today. I mean, people will look at your tie as if you wearing it for them, and they will tell you, I don't like that tie. As if you had them in mind when you put your tie on. Somebody will look at the dress that you're wearing and say, oh, that dress is too short. For who? You understand? Somebody's going to offend you. Oh, child, I just wouldn't wear that much hair if I was you. Oh, child, your face looks so small. I don't like that. You're not wearing that. You didn't buy this. This is not yours. You have no, you shouldn't like it. It's not yours. Am I right about it? People will give you their opinion, and that's what makes forgiveness so hard, because we get so offended by people giving us their unsolicited opinions. Somebody's going to say something. So get this, and this will help you forgive. Somebody's going to say something to you to offend you. Somebody's going to do something to offend you. You already got that. Now, when it happens, you can laugh. I told my daughter when she got ready to go to college, I said, this is what the boys are going to say. And I can't tell you what I told her they were going to say, but I told her everything that I know boys say. And every man knows what I'm talking about, and every girl, every woman knows what I told her. I told her, this is what they're going to say. This is what they're going to say. My daughter called me about, she was at Jackson State one night about 1 o'clock in the morning. I answered the phone almost scared to death because my daughter called me at 1 o'clock in the morning. When I answered the phone, she was laughing to the top of her lawn. Dad, wait, Dad, wake up. I said, I'm woke. She said, tell my daddy what you just said. Tell my daddy what you just said. I could hear the little boy saying, I don't want to talk to your daddy. I don't want to talk to your daddy. And my daughter got the phone. She said, Daddy, you remember when you said that he was going to say, let me, blah, 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 blah. Guess what he just said? Guess what he just said? In other words, my daughter was not offended. She was not angered because she was prepared for it. You won't be offended when somebody tells you that Brenda, everybody else took their robes off. Why you got yours on? All you got to do is say, it's mine. Are y'all with me today? Are y'all with me? So y'all got that. So Paul talks about our actions toward one another. He talks about our attitudes toward one another. And then lastly, it's our affections toward one another. Somebody say kind affection. God will change our life. God will change how you feel. God will change the church. God will change the walk if we can just be kind and affectionate one toward the other. All right, look at verse 18. I'm almost done. We're almost done. It said, let's read verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written what? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do we believe God when he says that? So we're changed as a effective immediately, we're changed, right? Because we believe God. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, so forth and so forth. So verse 18, he's really saying, be peaceful. This is how you show affection, kind affection toward one another. Verse 18, he's saying, be peaceful. Be peaceful. We're commanded. It's a command, folks. Did y'all hear me? It's a command. It's a command. Be peaceful. So I don't like what you said, but I'm under the authority of God. I'm showing you how to handle it. I don't like what you said. This is you talking to yourself. Do you know sometimes you got to talk to yourself? You got to tell yourself, Miss Peggy Harvey Lee, I don't like what you said to me, self. We don't like what was said, but I'm under the authority of God to be peaceful. And not only am I under the authority of God, I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. And if it makes you feel better to say that old me would have went up you one side, now you're talking to yourself. Sometimes I've had to write letters. I thank God for being able to type. And I've written letters, and if you could get some of the letters that I've written to some of y'all. I've written some tough letters. And once I got that letter written, I felt so good. I hit delete, jump in my bed, and go to sleep. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He says, be peaceful. In verse 18, he says, be peaceful. But verse 19, he says, be patient. I'm done. I got to take. Come here. You didn't get where you are overnight. You didn't get saved overnight. You didn't come to know Jesus overnight. And so he's really saying, be patient with that other person who don't know him like you know him. I'm gone. Then he says, be positive. Verse 20, he says, be positive. The Lord will deal with every fault that comes your way. And so you got to think positive. God got it. God's got it. Be pleasant. The last in this text, verse 21, he's saying, be pleasant. And so to show affection toward one another, you got to be peaceful. Somebody say they're peaceful. You got to be patient. You got to be positive. And you got to be pleasant. You got to be peaceful. You got to be patient. You got to be positive. And you got to be pleasant. You got to be peaceful. You got to be patient. You got to be positive. And you got to be pleasant. You got to be peaceful. You got to be patient. You got to be positive. And you got to be patient. And you got to be pleasant. Doors of the church are open. I wish y'all felt like another hour. I sure would give it to you.